Welcome back. I want to go back to how I started out talking about equity and equality, and clearly most people then took that as taking it in the direction of car dealers and the minister. And I really only use that as a reference because of the statement of being on a level playing field. But what I really wanted to hit home is when the less privileged are armed with resources that offer the same opportunities as their peers, then fairness is achieved. So in other words, equality is the end goal and equity is the means to get there. But what is it that we want? Do we want equality when we're marching and Black Lives Matter and all these other things, or do we want equity? And we got to kind of decide which one we want, because we could be fighting for equality, but then that may not be fair, because everybody gets the same thing, but everybody won't benefit from the same thing in the same way. So when we make these remarks about being level in a level playing field and not, you know, being fair, I think we need to ask ourselves if we're giving equal opportunity, or should I say an opportunity based on what you require to get from point A to B may not be the same as what John requires, but the goal is for us to be on the same path, at the same height. Can we realistically achieve that? Maybe not. Can we get close? Yes, we can. The number to call, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. Now, I'm going to read some WhatsApp messages and then get back to the phone lines. One person is here saying, why do you permit these so-called Christians to use the program to force feed others with their beliefs? They should be steered to the sales department. Let's see if they are willing to pay to spread their gospel. You know what's sad about that comment? If he was calling about politics or trashing someone, you wouldn't direct him to the sales department. But because that person has an opinion and it happens to be about the gospel, why is it so hard for some people when callers make their contribution to Brass Tacks and is not in an aggressive way and is not in a political way, but they just want to share something with you and for a short period? Why does that seem to be offensive? Why can't that just be a breath of fresh air and somebody just wishes you well and quote something from the Bible? So what? What harm did it do? I didn't get the impression that anyone was force-feeding anybody. You were free to turn off the radio when you heard it and then turn back on when you choose to, you know, listen to something else. And, I think it's sad because it's not the first time I'm seeing those types of comments from persons when they make a contribution and then people start to pull them down, which is regrettable. To those who are still messaging me about the disrespect that they said, that, come on, Joanne, I know you. You do better than that. People have to remember that I am on air, number one. And even if those callers forget that they're on air, again, certain things are deleted that you won't be able to hear, bleeped out, and other things aren't. And, you know, there's a saying, when they go low, we go high. I choose to go high. I don't want to go down in the mud with individuals. I have no point to prove. Does that make me a weak person? No, it actually makes me a sensible person not to respond to certain things. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, it is afternoon indeed. Yes, indeed.
Long time not here. No, you don't pick up this voice, you know. You know, you don't pick up this voice.
Yeah. Let me keep talking and maybe I will recognize it.
Number one that calling.
Listen, you call me number two. So,
you got my number one.
I am? Oh, God, I got a promotion.
You got a promotion.
Well, I thank you.
Yeah, so how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, considering all things. Oh, please, no. I announced last week when I was here on Tuesday that actually the funeral is tomorrow, and unfortunately I have to bury someone that is very, very, very close to me, and I've never lost anyone in my life that was this close. And to those who have experienced this, even though over the years we tell people, my condolences, is like, okay, gosh, I'm now sitting on this other side. And it just feels like a hole, which, by the way, before you say anything, I want to, and I do apologize because I meant to express my deepest condolences to Tony Hoyas and his family on the passing of Patrick Hoyas. My encounter with Patrick was that on Brass Tacks, me being the caller from the Water Authority side, and he was always very polite. I must admit, whenever Patrick was on, I breathed a sigh of relief that it wasn't David Ellis I had to go up against. Because he, you know, there's a different approach for different things. One day I remember someone calling and saying, boy, David Ellis and Joanne Hick got it out on the air. Which, you know, we didn't. We just had a robust discussion. But Mr. Hoyas back then. Well, no, but but realistically, I was referring to Patrick Hoyas where I would call, and sometimes I would breathe a sigh of relief when I realized that he was the moderator. May he rest in peace. To nice Tony moderator. Hoyas and his family. I can just tell you now, I sit here and I definitely can not only say my deepest condolences, I can actually say I know how you feel, because it really hurts. And I'll pray for you and your family, Tony, and wishing you all the best. Caller, you can do your contribution. And thank you for giving me those few minutes to get that out.
That's no problem. Mm-hmm. Listen, in 1997, I lost my mom. Mm-hmm. I had lost my dad earlier, though, but my mom was more closer to my mom than my dad. And John, would you believe I had sleep for 3 weeks?
Wow. Sometimes I understand people need even help, sedatives and different ways and means of coping. It's hard. It's so hard.
And my mom was my heart, my soul, my everything. My mother was to me. I didn't sleep for 3 weeks, God. It was a problem with the mortuary and our thoughts. I even went on the radio and thought and spoke about it, man. Because to be honest, it was real hurt. And when my mom buried them and everything, I didn't cry. Not a drop of water and came out of my eye, but let me show you what I was saying inside. Inside was like a bomb let go in there. So I know how it is when there's a lost some person that close to you. Yeah, but what you call it, well, I can't get off of this thing with my Minister of Agriculture.
Oh, okay. What is it?
What is it? Chicken, man, I want the BMC open back. How long are you going to keep the BMC tied down?
So is it that you're not getting chicken? Is it?
Not getting turkey wings or chicken. How long are you going to keep the BMC freezer doors locked up? Are you getting some ridiculous prices from people? This is not fair to us. People just thought, well, everything is the premise. By premising, like, you can go and step into this thing and see what's going on, man. This ain't good enough. You guys are ridiculous chicken prices. On a BMC that people can get reasonable prices for meat. Shut down, can't sell none.
Well, we're hoping we can get some word from maybe some person from that agency, hopefully. You probably won't, but we can try.
Yeah, but to be honest, we want to ease in the prices, man. The chicken price is too expensive. Too expensive.
I think a lot of things have gone through the roof, really. A lot of things, and people are trying to educate me about supply and demand, but I understand things like human decency, too. Yes, business is business, but you can't realistically try to, especially with food, you know? And we're still in a pandemic. And a lot of things went crazy in terms of the prices. And one would think that so many people got laid off. And some people would say, let's be fair and let's make sure that we operated a profit, but not a super profit, you know?
You can imagine chicken neck selling $6 a pound. $6 a pound and chicken selling $18 and $20. This thing is ridiculous.
More than that, yeah.
Huh? And they talk small farmers. I talk the supermarket. I can expect the supermarket to sell at this price. God, they're going to make a profit when they buy from them people. But people that producing them selling chicken at $18 and $20, so on, that's not good enough. Thank you, number one, though.
Thank you, number two.
Oh, no, you're not. You're number one.
But wait, before you go, how did I get promoted, though? Because the other individual has not passed on to another world, so...
The first number one is a bit under the weather. So wait.
I get pushed up by default because somebody's not feeling well?
No, you're just talking about default and talking about default. Because you can choose who you want as number one or number two.
If you're going to do that demotion thing, well, no.
It's got demotion and promotion.
I hear you. But let me ask you a question before, because I go on to the next caller, because it's a topic that I promised myself I was going to bring up at 12:30 before the news. Someone had asked me, a gentleman, he said, you know, most women, in particular Bastax, he's always hearing about his child support and people bashing men. And I know we've all had this discussion, but we always sway on the woman's side. But his story is that he was married, might have made a little mistake or two, but an excellent father. Wife decides that she's going to spite him not to see the child. He's paying child support and he can't see his child for many years and back and forth to court. So I wanted to put that scenario out there for the fathers, because I was accused last year of only seeing things through one lens about women and women's rights, and that men are, you know, words that are maybe not in the Oxford Dictionary. Sometimes women feel that way about them, but they're not all bad. But you may have a bad boyfriend or a bad husband. If the person is a good father,
yes,
or the woman is a good mother, then I personally feel that, you know, you don't use the child, and the children are being used as pawns, and particularly with women. Yes, I am a woman and I'm saying it. Women are using some women are using their children as pawns in relationships to spite men.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, when we have these discussions, it's always about, this man does not pay child support, he's a deadbeat dad. Women always trying to say, you know, they can't get him to pay, and they always have to end up in court, and so on and so forth. But nobody really speaks about the side of the good men. That they may be, I know what I said, they're terrible boyfriends, they're terrible husbands, they cheat, but they're good fathers.
I can say they're terrible girlfriends and worser wives.
Worser wives.
Worser wives.
Well, no, but it works both ways. And the other thing, too, after lunch break, I wanted to bring up is the child support factor, where, you know, people have to understand that it is not only that money weekly. It is half of education, half healthcare, and extracurricular activities optional. So apart from what the judge says that the parent should pay, and I say parent, I wouldn't want to say the man should pay, because the question remains, if the man is looking after the child and the woman has left the home, then shouldn't the woman then be paying the child support? But how many cases do we get like that? And then do men actually put women in court here in Barbados for child support? And
I would.
You would?
I would. Let me get a little story.
Mm-hmm.
My son and I disagree. I said my mother died in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
We disagreed from 1997 to last year. Didn't speak to one of 22 years. And I felt so good when my sister called me and said, listen, you son want your phone number? I said, who, son? She said, well, you ain't got one? I said, I give him. And Joanne, when my son called me, he can see the tears came out of my eyes. Because I wasn't man enough to call him to make up, but he was man enough to call me and make up. And right now, we like 2 feet in a pot. This morning, he was going in the bank. He called me, he said, pops, man, I'm here for the day. I'm all right, going in the bank. And he's driving and talking. He said, well, pops, I got any bike now, so we can catch it later. I just get a pops call. And I said, when I hear that, when I see that pops, what's up? Water just come my ear, but people don't know.
How many men, I mean, truthfully today, or at least for an hour, I'll give them that much. Not that I don't empathize with men. I just hear so many stories of not stepping up to the plate. And women, a lot of women are disappointed in the behavior and the performance of a lot of men.
But, say A, say B. That's no good.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're women too. But right now, my emphasis was the conversation I had with the individual. And I said, you know, it was a subject that we should continue to have, not just here in Brass Tacks, but in other, you know, groups and so on, about men's, the rights of men, and not only wait until Father's Day to sort of put them on the front page of a newspaper holding a child. And, you know, all that is all fun and dandy, nice and dandy. But in reality, how are they treated in the court of law?
Some of us men are treated like dogs. They don't have a fuck. But to be honest, this is 30 some more years I live alone. 30 some more years. Honestly, I got her, and I just decided to me, no more hurting me no more. And I can live so until the master ready for me, and that is their fact. Right? Women will come through my door, and you hear the people here saying, man, he live this boy. That is not true.
You carry me on a different conversation. Here I am talking about good fathers, and
listen, my son, you could remember Barclays Junior Service. When Barclays Junior Service start, or that too long for you?
No, I vague memory.
Vague memory?
Mm-hmm.
When Barclays Junior Service start, I made sure that I went and opened up a account for him. And every week, I know the cap is in my name, but every week, this is like Christmas thing, when we get Christmas bonus from work. When we go on things, we say, is this my daddy, man, you buying everything for me, and you're buying everything, no, listen, buddy. Left me to myself. He went to school at Foundation, and when he was in school, we boxed, and thing called, I told myself from the time I started with girlfriend, I want one or two children that they can get whatever they want. Not we can afford whatever they want, I would try to give them. And he only got one. He needs to get whatever he wants. That's the type of father he was. But strict too. Don't feel it was easy. Strict too.
Well, I just think that maybe more fathers, the good ones, huh? The good guys, I call them. The good guys should, we shouldn't wait until Father's Day to put them on the front page. And to those who are not so good, I think you deserve to be on the front page too, but as a deadbeat dad, and so everybody can see that you are a deadbeat dad. Because if it is that you may want another relationship, I think women should be warned earlier that this is what, for example, John looks like. John has 5 children he doesn't support, so make sure that you don't, you know. But again, that's just my opinion, and I promise to raise the whole situation with fathers and not being treated fairly in the courts. Welcome back. It's 12:43. Remember, we're going up until 2 p.m. today. I'm going to get some WhatsApp messages out of the way and then take some calls. This person here says, good afternoon, Joanne. I am a resident of St. John, specifically one of the areas highlighted in today's paper. We have been having very little water for the past 5 months between the hours of 6 to 12 daily. This issue is ongoing for the past 8 years or more under the past administration and now the current one. Why is it that we have to be subjected to this backwardness of no water, yet the country is a progressing country? Please, if this parish was one of that of the Prime Minister's, that the Prime Minister resides in, the person says, would this issue be fixed like the sewage issue was fixed? Well, the Prime Minister does not reside in the area where the sewage was running, but anyway, please, we deserve better, especially since it's the only parish that the BLP has never won before 2018 general election. Barbados Water Authority, what do you expect us to do now? Clearly, I know I can hear frustration of this resident and all of the residents. And you're right, it's not now, it's an ongoing issue with these particular areas, somewhat a little longer than expected. Seeing on the front page here that the minister is on the front page with Dr. Mwanza at Bowmanston, and basically Dr. Mwanza is normally pointing as to where the height of the water would normally be. This is why I was asking the question, and if when the rain falls in this particular area, if the replenishing is faster at Bowmanston, unlike the other areas that rely on the aquifer 90 days to get their, clearly they're standing in water. And but it's not as high as it's supposed to be, and clearly the lower it is, the more difficult it is to pump, and you can't pump what you don't have because you'd be pumping air, then you will mash up the devices connected to the system. This other person here says, dealing with the child support issue, this is very interesting because I didn't even think of this in a COVID environment. Apparently, he says, good afternoon. He says, good afternoon. No one cares about fathers unemployed during COVID. Here's why, he says. Everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, getting payment moratoriums, but not fathers who are in court and are ordered to pay maintenance. Note, he's saying that everybody is getting these moratoriums. They're getting delays by saying, okay, it's okay, you don't have to pay us for 3 months, whether that's utilities, your car payment, your bank loans, but yet the fathers don't get that. He said, these same fathers will be in contempt of court due to non-payment through no fault of their own. Some will say, go back to court, but will you get to see a judge or a magistrate before next year? Why is it that no one cares about non-threatening supportive fathers? Supporting kind amendment that was enshrined under the last administration needs to be made law. Supporting kind provides, in most cases, more than the pittance some men pay via the courts, as the extended family all pitch in to support the child or children. Everybody lump all fathers as useless, and they do not accept that non-threatening supportive fathers are the knees getting the bad end of the stick of the system. Well, they don't cherish the fathers, no, and other people get off scot-free. Now, hearing your frustration, I'm not a father, I'm a mother, and I can tell you that when mothers have to play that double role is hard, and I did not know, and until you drew it to my attention, and maybe people really didn't think about it, how would fathers pay their child support? Now, in my opinion, what a parent may tell you or a mother may say to you, well, maybe you would have to delay on another payment in order for the child to get support. And I think that's only fair because when you think about it, if you're getting unemployment and you have other bills, maybe you can look and ask for the moratorium on the other things and make sure your child gets the child support. But you see, the sad part is, and fathers, if you're listening, mothers wait, and I mean decent mothers, because I'm not saying that they're all good mothers out there. Well, mothers sometimes have to wait until the money comes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they have to go to court, and then they hear that it's not there. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they're down there with the child in one hand and another child barely now walking to catching a bus. It's hard. And when some of you, and what we categorize of deadbeat dads, put women through that, it's hard for them because they carry the baby for 9 months, and they expect some sort of support. Now, if you can't support financially, and this other guy here was talking about in kind, then there's nothing wrong with saying, well, okay, you go to work. I know we're not together anymore. Leave the child by me, and I'll make sure he or she is looked after. That's support, too. So women, if a guy can't pay A, but he can do B, maybe we should be able to look at that. But again, I can't decide for anyone, to each his own, and what works for you. However, I think one thing we all agree on, the children need support. So however they get it, if they have to go through the law to get it, then that's what you have to do. I'm not quite sure why a man would want to allow a woman to put him through court, to embarrass him like that. Why it is that if she says the child is yours, you've acknowledged the child, and then you make arrangements as to what you pay. How do we get to the court situation? Unless you're trying to say that the child is not yours, and then you go through the system where you get the DNA, the paternity tests, and then you pay. I get that. But why should a woman, a mother, for your own children, have to put you in court to embarrass you to pay child support? And that is the million-dollar question. I'm not referring to the good fathers, and I feel really sorry for those fathers who really want to see their children, and because of some incident, the mother decides that she's spiting the man. Women, come on, man. You're only spiting yourselves. Because when you withhold that child from a good father, note, he may be a terrible boyfriend, he might have been a horrible husband, but he's good to his own child. Let him see the child. You'll need a break. You'll recognize that your child will need two parents, especially if they're two good parents. If you want to spite him, you should have. I'm not going to mess with my wife because to deal with that. But don't ever use your children if you are. And again, this is some cases, not all. Dr. Brass Stacks, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, good afternoon, Joy. I'm Cammy holding here.
Hi, Cammy. I'm good. And you?
Yeah, I'm a lot better today. I know I'm hearing you. At least somebody seems to care about the plight of non-threatened supportive fathers in Barbados. Joy, I would really like Barbados, be it the judiciary and social services, to understand that a supporting child is more than just financial. A child also needs the emotional support of that father. Now, the last administration had a piece of legislation called Supporting Kind, which would facilitate those fathers who are now unemployed and cannot pay the maintenance. Where the grandmother, the aunt, the uncle, and everybody can buy somebody's shoes, somebody's pants, somebody's shoes, the shirt, somebody can buy groceries. And that is where we need to move as a society to make sure that the extended family of that child is involved. I am not seeing that level of conversation in the country. I'm only seeing that men are perceived to be an ATM. We have a situation in this country, and it seems unless it gets volatile, nobody reacts or understands. Where you have men in this country who cannot be in the educational life of their children because their names are deliberately left off as a weapon from the school registration form. And nobody understands that when a child goes to school, right? And he's bullied by his parents on your lapel like he died or he's dead. And that is bullying, you know. And the social services and the court needs to understand those things. But you know what, Joanne? I will not allow this kid to die unless this government, this administration, and the chief legal advisor of the government does the right thing on behalf of men in this country. Because something needs to be done about the men in this country who want to be in the life of their kids, and nothing is being done to ensure that the child has that emotional support from the father. So that's what I want to say.
No, thank you. But no, I agree and I support that. Look, I know that not every person can support a child financially, whether it be a mother or father, maybe because of job loss or they're in between jobs and there's an issue, but you need to step up. Whether it's a mother or father, someone is here messaging, make sure when you put the deadbeat dads on the front page, you also put the deadbeat mothers. I agree. It works both ways. They're bad mothers. And they're bad fathers. It works both ways. So I'm certainly not here to lean it one way or the other. But, Cammy, you must agree. The court is full of deadbeat dads in terms of why it is. Why did we get here? Why are we in court? You and I got together. We have a child. We agreed on, or even if we didn't agree, most kids come, you know, without plans. So the child is here. Why are we in court? That's why asking myself, why should a woman have to go to that extreme? To educate a man. No, Cammy, to educate a man, because not all men, we're talking about the deadbeat ones. You got to literally educate them and tell them, Here is all the reason, this is what you need to make sure little Mary or Bob has Pampers. You really feel that we women should be telling men why the child needs Pampers and milk, why the child needs money?
No, Joanne, no. And I'll say this much to you, right? It's so easy that a woman can walk off the street and go to court and put a man in court. There are many men who support their kids. But you know what? Some women, because of how easy it is, will prefer to go and put the man in court. Something gets less. That is the problem. But you know what? When that woman wants to remove the man from court, the man don't have to turn up. They have a situation here whereby we've been hearing a lot about family court and we've been hearing about mediation. But we have the legal industry. It's no longer a legal fraternity. Who have hamstrung the whole system and decided, you know what? I need another payday. So a lot of the legal persons seem to make these things more contentious. And a lot of things that should not be in court are in court. And that should be dealt with through mediation. That is the problem we have in this country. But nobody wants to offend anybody. A lot of lawyers in this country are the problem. And I have no apology to make whatsoever.
Okay, well, we got a full board. It seems it can lit up like a Christmas tree. Okay, thanks very much. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I come in after Cammy, and I would like to endorse much of what he says. I know he's very passionate about the matter with children and the access to them by the fathers and so on. I think he is right on the ball with that. I had a personal situation too when I was growing up. My mother had put my father in court too for child support, and she had my youngest sister. She was a little bit more than a baby at the time. And along the way, my father brought it home because he wanted the child too. He really loved the children.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept that child for about a year or two, but he had to do child maintenance at the court. But he continued to put the child maintenance, but he also kept the child too. And during the 2-year period, my mother did not stop the payment. She still received the payment, although she did not have the child. So when the time was right, he went to the court and presented the situation so that he could stop the maintenance. And she wanted back the child then so she could continue to get the maintenance. But it didn't work in her favor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just to say that sometimes the women are spiteful. There are some cases where, though, that they genuinely need the help, and maybe a man probably could afford but and doesn't. But that's not always the case. Sometimes there's some women, if you will go about with them and don't support each other, they will accept that. But don't leave them, because then they would demand support. So there are all kinds of issues. Mm-hmm.
Now, well, a lot of that happens, though, when men, you know, start to wander off in different directions, and women, which they shouldn't accept, but I don't think that to get a man back, you know, you use the child as a bargaining tool.
Right.
You know, and you either spite them, you can either spite them and say you can't because you're going out with well, let me give another name, D'Amica. D'Amica's the girlfriend. If there are any D'Amicas out there, I don't mean you. I'm just using a general thing.
Right.
So the ex-girlfriend or the child's the baby mom now is vexed because you finish and you're going out with D'Amica. Now, here's where the problem lies.
Right.
The new girlfriend has two children.
Uh-huh.
So the new boyfriend is supporting D'Amica's children. They ain't his.
Right.
So he's now forgotten all about Joanne, for example, the ex-girlfriend, who has the child for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is more looking after, no, because he want to impress D'Amica. Mm-hmm. He can't tell D'Amica he don't support the other one that he actually got. You understand? There's so many twists and turns,
right?
But yeah, a lot of it turns to men where you guys need to speak up like you're doing now by saying, listen, I am a good father. I might be a horrible boyfriend. That's why I keep saying that, you know, I strayed. I my eyes wandered. But right. I want to be in my child's life. I want to pay child support. I want us to co-parent.
Right.
How can we work this out? To me, only animals need to go to court in that for that type of thing, because it's just one of them things I'm thinking, Kadir, as a baby, how do you go there and argue why should support?
A lot of vexation.
That's what it is. It's a lot of vexation and there's a lot of spite. And this is why today I might get slack from some women when I leave this thing. But women, we need to tell the truth. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
It's quite true.
And she will do what she needs to do. It may not be the right thing.
Right.
But sometimes she reacts in a way, but truthfully, she should not really do anything else. Get back at the guys in any other way. Do for do type of thing, but don't use the children.
All right, don't go yet. If I could stay another minute. You made a comment before you went on to Camino. I wasn't sure how you meant it. You said prepare a special meal for the men when they're not looking.
No, I'm saying that why use the children in the case? If you want to teach them a little lesson, I don't mean in anything that bad. I mean, but you got to remember, if you're living with a woman and she's cooking for you, I think that you need to respect the woman. And if you don't want to be there, or you don't want to support the child, or you don't want to be in her life, I think you should get someone else to cook for you.
Oh,
that's all.
When I hear the term prepare special meal, I mean, we're heading for the grave.
No. We weren't talking about pushing daisies.
No.
I would never, we would never entertain that.
Okay. No, listen, about the car dealership business, right? I didn't hear your initial comment, but how you read the WhatsApp or how people commented. It was sounds as though you might say agree with the minister, right? But the thing about it is that these are two types of businesses as far as I'm concerned. It just happened that both name cars or both name vehicles. But one could be, say, craft, and one could be, say, a car business. But there are two different types. One is used cars, and one is new cars. So I do not agree that you are leveling the playing ground by making the used car dealers pay more in taxes. Because there's a point that the used car dealers are making, you know, if you listen to them, they say, look, and they're just using any figure. A car is sold overseas for $10,000. And yet, say, the dealers here got it for $90,000. So they're as middle people now. They are coming in and giving you a good quality car, with more features than these new ones, and for far less money, which is what people would want. That's why you were seeing all of these dealerships springing up. So I don't agree that you're going to level the playing ground, because they are two different areas altogether. And I think, as you said earlier, when new people come into your domain, a business, you need to step up your game. You don't go to the minister and beg him to tax the other people out of business so that you could survive. You do things like lower your profit margin and do more exciting things. You could also, because there's nothing stopping and prohibiting them from getting into the used car business either, because I remember years ago that Simpson's Motors had an issue too. And what they did was to compete with the used car dealers by bringing in used cars as well. So there are different ways of doing things. When we as small business people got issues and we talk to the government, what all they tell us is, become creative, man. Be more imaginative and using all of these terms and telling us, come up to speed.
Well, what I wanted to say in closing, if I can, or you have the last word, is, we got to know what we're fighting for. Hence the reason I started off. Is it that they want, when they use the word level playing field, do we want equality or we want equity? We got to decide which one is which that we're fighting for.
I agree with you with that, though.
All right.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.